Have I got volume? No. I like volume. Those of you with hearing aids, you might have to turn them down. I love volume. I'll try and control it. I won't be screaming at you the whole time. Thanks, Barb. I have a friend there. It's great to be here. I thank you for the invitation. It's my fourth time, so I feel like I'm part of the family here. I just look a little different. I have more hair than some of you. But since I feel like part of the family, I can maybe say some things as part of the family, you know? This is an interesting passage that I'm going to talk on, because actually when I had dinner with Pastor Mark on Thursday night, he says, what are you talking about? If you don't mind me asking. And I said, well, I'm going to speak about Tara. And his eyes bugged out on me. I don't know if you were all here a month ago, but he preached on that passage from Genesis, and he spoke about Tara, and he spoke about don't settling. Do you remember that? Those of you who are here? So I don't know why, because there's lots of passages in this Bible, why God would give me the same passage that Pastor Mark preached upon last month. The only reason I have is there's more there for you, or you just didn't get it the first time. So I'll do my best, and I didn't take his notes. I don't know actually what he said, but I'm going to say what I'm going to say because that's the way I am. We move from destination to destination. That's life. Place to place. And that's not always geographical, but we move from place to place in our lives. John Maxwell says, sometimes the smallest step in the right direction ends up being the biggest step in your life. And I'm going to say this to some of you. Some of you today need to take that small step forward because you haven't done it. You've been waiting and waiting and waiting. It's time now. God's going to speak to you today to encourage you. Not to yell at you, not to discipline you, but to encourage you, because there's more once you take that step. Three things I hope to get through today. Number one, God says it's not over. Those of you with gray hair on top, it's not over. Those of you who are younger who may be saying to yourselves, what? God, I haven't seen you. It's not over. Number two, God says, there's more for you. There's more for you. And number three, are you willing to follow my directions? Ooh, that one may be tougher for some of you. Maybe tougher for some of you. Are we willing to follow God's direction? You know, we run into problems when we stay someplace too long. Have you noticed that? Anybody ever stay at a job too long? Stay in school too long? Stay in a house too long? The grace for that is gone. So that causes problems. And we have to be able to make that adjustment and see our lives as seasons. I love to use the term seasons because it speaks of a period of time, and yet it's not defined, but it is defined. A season can be as short as a few months to a number of years. But it changes. Some of you here might be in a winter season. No leaves on the trees, kind of dark, it's cold, not much happening, everything dormant. Some of you may be in spring where we are now. The trees are blooming, flowers are blooming. There's growth, there's life. But we go through the seasons in our life, and we need to understand and appreciate that. So if you're in a winter season, don't despair. What comes after winter? spring. It's the cycle of life, and that is how God has designed us. So if you have had the notion of staying in one place for a long time, we're going to have to crowbar you out of that chair, and it's time to go. Because it's time to go. Let's look at the passage in Genesis. Genesis 11. Genesis 12, verse 5. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah...
You can't go?
You just can't.
You can't hear me? Okay, sure. You want me to turn this one off?
Verse 28, while his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in the Ur of the Chaldeans in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren. She had no children. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of son Abram, and together they set out from the Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they arrived at Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. Chapter 12. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. You know, we see the story. This is the line. This is the line we all come from, this history here. And if we look at just the early part, verse 27 and 28, we see or we hear of a man who's supposed to take his family someplace else, and yet there was death. He lost a son. We don't hear of a wife in this story. Did he have a wife? Maybe, maybe not for at that time. Lot, who travels with him, had lost his dad. Terah's daughter-in-law, Sarai, was barren. Why do we get these details? Why are they included for us to read? It's called life. It's called life. We all go through. I've lost a father and a father-in-law these last 12. It's called life. And we see life here. And we see what life is, because it's life. And God is with you. And I have to believe, even though it doesn't say here that God spoke to Terah to go to Canaan, I have to believe that God spoke to him, or somehow, some way, God got to Terah and said to go. It doesn't say so. But that was part of God's plan to get Abram on his way, because we know Abraham's story down the road. But God gets Terah going some way, somehow, going to where he's supposed to go, but he stops part way. He stops part way. He settles, and I know Pastor Mark spoke about that, don't settle. And there has been a settling in some of you. Hear it again. There has been a settling in some of you, because you haven't seen God move. You haven't heard God speak to you as clearly as you would like. But the problem is, when we put our own expectations on how things are,
they mess us up because when I expect certain things from my wife, and she expects other things from me, and I lose. Unmet expectations, that's hard. Now, none of you have gone through that, I bet. You guys are more spiritual than I am, but you've never had that problem, Pastor Larry. Not unmet expectations. Terry's never had any unmet expectations on you, I bet. Yeah, it's us guys in Vancouver. We're the problem. So you guys, my family here, you guys are good. But I need help. And what happens is we put that on God. We want to see it a certain way. God, it has to be this way. I'm asking you, why does it have to be that way? Is not God sovereign, kids? Because don't you get annoyed when your kids try and tell you what to do? Mm-hmm. Wondering, okay. Who needs a slap on the head? Who needs a slap on the head? You can't settle where you're not supposed to settle. And Tara settled. And then on top of that, he died. He died. There's no redemption there. He died. It's done. But the problem here, moving forward for some of you, is some of you have been attached to a Tara, and when Tara died, you're lost. You got stuck in Haran. And some of you are still stuck in Haran because Tara died. Because you followed along of the voice of a man, of a dream of a man, and you stopped. And you stopped. And you settled. But your destination wasn't to settle there. So some of you have to free yourself of your Tara, whether that was the idea or dream that died, a person that died, a goal that died. You have to let go of that because you're not called to settle there. You're called to go to Canaan. I said to the group last night, sometimes you have to leave people behind to go to where you need to go. If you want to grow in leadership, you're going to leave some people behind. You can't wait for them. Because by the time you wait for them, it's too late. My world is timing. Everything is timing to me. Being prophetic, the word at the right time means it loves you. Good gracious, she's been a Christian longer than I have. I sang that song when I was a little kid. Why would I say that when she came up for ministry? She needed to hear that for whatever reason. I don't know. I just spoke it because I was supposed to speak it. Timing is everything. Don't miss your time. Don't miss your time. Really, really important timing in God's economy. So you're not supposed to settle where you're supposed to go. You're supposed to go to Canaan, your place, where God's called you. So are you willing to, as Abram receives the blessing of God? Yeah, this is on Abram. Are we any different? Does God not want to make us a great nation, bless us? I'll make your name great. You will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you will curse you. Yeah, I may not be a nation. I am a family. I'm the patriarch of my family. And my family, the Lee family, is very particular. We do things a particular way. We have a particular style. And that's important to me. That's my nation. knows us as I'm the kooky guy up top here. I'm the patriarch of the family. And I'm the secret way. And I carry that authority. I take it serious. I've got a son-in-law now, a daughter-in-law. You know, we're breaking them in. We're teaching them. My youngest son's girlfriend, my younger daughter's boyfriend. They're learning, the Lee way is the way. There is no other way. There is no other way. That's our house. But that should be the same for each of you. You don't lord it over, you create. You create something there, a family line with you and your spouse. You create that. And if you've lost a spouse, hey, you can still be. Those of you who are at the top of the food chain have the most responsibility. And carry that well, I say to you. Carry that well. Because it matters to the next generation coming down the line. Value that. Because God values that on you. So verse 4, Abram packs up. So Abram left, and as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. Look at that. When God says it's time to go, he not only says it's time to go and tells you where to go, but he gives you what you need to go with. All the possessions they had accumulated, plus they had people. God gives you the right people when you need to go where you need to go. See, I work with the staff back home at Hill City in Abbotsford Church that we're a part of. And I say to any of them, if you want to leave, go right ahead. I'm not holding on to any of you. Actually, most of the time I'm trying to push them out. Not a negative. I'm a personal development coach. I help people grow and help people get to where they need to go. I don't slow people down. I'm kicking them in the butt constantly. I got one custodian. I'm trying to get him out of the house. He's called to be an evangelist, but he's not taking the step to get out of there. I'm trying to get him out of the church. The first thing I ever did when I took over the staff was actually move Pastor Mitch's daughter off of staff. That's the first thing I did. Because she wanted to go. It was time to go. And even though she left, we had a void. God brings in who we need to replace. I have faith for that. Because it's not my church. It's not my house. It's God's house. I'm just trying to help and not get in the way. So God brings somebody in for a year. And then that young lady has her second child and says, I'm not coming back. Okay, we got a gap again. So what happens? Pastor Mitch's daughter went out, started her own business, graphic artist business. We bring her back on as a vendor. Now we submit work to her. She's happy. We're happy. God provides. I got no stress. Because I'm not smart enough to fix these things. But I trust that God, on the journey that we're on, my journey, as part of looking after the staff at the church, providing leadership in that area, God will provide. I don't need to freak out because God actually knows what's going on. I just got to tap in here and say, God, what do you want me to do here? So Abram's ready to go, and he has people. He has possessions. And I love it here. They set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. They got there. Some of you need to get there. You need to get there. Your future depends upon it. Your family's future depends upon it. I'm going to say the church's future depends upon it because you who are committed to this house have a part in this house. And if you're not doing or being here, doing your part, something is missing. I don't want to miss any fingers on my hand. I don't want to miss any toes on my feet. But some of you, if you're not doing We are missing. You see, this only works if we can let go, trust. How many of you have really tried to raise kids and really control them? How many of you? You lose your hair faster than you can blink. Ulcer, sleepless nights. Doesn't work. Somehow, even if you don't feed them, they grow. They grow and they become rebellious and talk back at you. And heaven forbid, they think for themselves. It's going to happen anyway. This phrase I say all the time back home, trust the process. There is a process going on constantly. Process going on in each of our lives. God is in the process of reminding us that He has much more for us. You can't stay where you are. You need to go to where you're supposed to be. And in that process, God is giving you direction. We'll bring in resources that you need, the right people that you need. And if you truly trust Him and hear Him, you'll have peace in your heart. I challenge people most days with looking within themselves and being self-aware, understanding themselves. And you need to, each of you, understand yourselves, what you're like, and be honest. And have people around you to tell you what you're really like. Because as I've spoken this weekend to various people and groups, we have blind spots. We think we really know, but we don't. That's why we're interdependent on one another, not independent of one another. If you have a spirit of being independent, you're going to get your head chopped off. You're done. That's just the honest truth. Because God's not called any of us to be an island. We are interdependent. We are the body of Christ. That's the metaphor, body of Christ. Because we need each other. You can't survive without your brother or sister beside you. And we can't survive without you beside us. This church is in a new season. It's so exciting for me to come in this season. Pastor Mark, with his leadership, has taken the church to where it needed to be for God to release him into his passion, which was fantastic, because that's been on his heart for years and years and years and years. And we saw that happen. And now, this next season brings new excitement, new ideas, new things, a new leader. And that's good. Because, you know, God hasn't forgot about you. God wasn't surprised. Some of you think it was, some of you were shocked and surprised. Trust me, God wasn't. He knew it. Way, way back. Way, way back. Some of you were shocked and surprised. But God wasn't. So why are you still? Why don't you get over it? Get over it! He's not here anymore. That's okay. Because he's doing what God's called him to do. We should be happy for him. We should be overjoyed because we get to be a part of that. He's going where you can't go and I can't go. So get over it. Did I make myself clear? Yeah, God wanted me to emphasize that a little bit. Because it's important. Because if you can't get over it, you can't move on. Oh, I miss Pastor Mark. Yeah, sure you do. That's good. Pray for him. Pray for him, Rebecca. But your future is not tied to him anymore. He's not leading the house. Pastor Larry's going to lead the house, along with Pastor Andy. We're good. We're good. We're good. If you're not good, go to the mirror and tell yourself you're good. Remind yourself. I'm just speaking bluntly. We're family, right? I can do that. And it's okay if you hate me. I got very thick skin. Dennis could even brand me, and I'll be okay. But I wouldn't want Dennis's cattle prod. I don't think I would want that. I don't know if I could handle that, but... See, are we willing to follow God's direction? Yeah, we won't really know what everything looks like in the end. I get that. Okay, I get that. But that's why it's called faith. But we have a job to dig in the Word to help find direction for our lives. We have those who can counsel us, speak into our lives. We have our pastors. Charles Schwab said, when a man has put a limit on what he will do, he has put a limit on what he can do. So I really hope that none of you here have put a limit on what you will do, because now you've put a limit on what you can do. And I'll add to that, you'll put a limit on what God can do through you as well. I don't think any of you want to sit here and answer to God and say that. Yeah, God, I could have done it. I could have done it, but yeah, I just didn't feel like it. I don't want to be near you when you say that to God. I'm just gonna slide over a little bit, give you some room when you go tell God that, I knew you wanted me to do all that. I just didn't feel like it. Anybody ever said that? Don't put your hand up. I don't want to know. Bill Purvis said, if you want some things you've never had before, you must be willing to do some things you've never done before. Oh, when was the first time you did something? When was the last time you did something for the first time? I know, change is tough. I spoke to the board on Friday about change. Change is hard. But actually, it isn't if you let go. Because again, it's not willy-nilly change. God's got a plan. So some of you may be in a place where you need to reaffirm your relationship with God. Some of you may be in a place where you just need Jesus. Some of you may need to lay down your life at the altar, say, I'm ready to go to Canaan. Do you want more, or are you satisfied with dying in Haran and not receiving for what God has for you in Canaan? So I'm going to close here. I'm going to open up the altar. And I pray and believe that if you come up here and you want me to lay hands and pray for you, God will give you a word. I have faith for that. As long as your heart is open, I'm a man. I do my best to hear God. I do my best to get out of the way when God is speaking. And whatever I speak over you, you take it, you pray about it, you ask God if it's right, if it's not, or you have trouble with it, call one of the pastors. They'll help you through it. I'm a man. I can miss it. My heart is to serve here, to bless. I look forward to the opportunity to speak over any of you if you want to hear what God has for you. Only God can give it to you. It's not for me. But I know that God wants to bless you. God wants to encourage you. Yeah, I hit on some ouch points today. Because he loves you and he doesn't want you to stay the same. He wants you to get to where you need to go. And God is ready. The question is, are you ready to go? So let's pray. Father, as we open up our hearts to what you want to say to us, as we open up the altar and allow ourselves to come up and say, yes, Lord, I want more. I want to change. I need more. I need to hear you. Let us come with that heart to receive. Let us come with a desire. Let us come because we don't want to be the same ever again. You have so much for us. Lord, I pray that each one here realizes it and hungers and thirsts and wants to receive. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So whoever wants prayer, you can come up. You can just tell me your name. I don't need your story unless I ask. And I just trust God would speak as he desires to speak. So the altar's open. You can come up.
Thanks, Brother Herb. And the rest of us, you're welcome to stay where you sit and reflect and pray while others come forward. Looks like we'll be here for a little while. Bless you, Herb. And you can also enjoy visiting out in the edge.